no shadows will disturb the clear sky. The whole expanse of heaven will shine evenly, for day and night are interchanged only in the lowest atmosphere. Then you will say that you have lived in darkness, after you have seen, in your perfect state, the perfect light. That light, which now you behold darkly, with vision that is cramped to the last degree. And yet, far off as it is, you already look upon it in wonder. What do you think the heavenly light will be when you have seen it in its proper sphere? Such thoughts permit nothing mean to settle in the soul, nothing low, nothing cruel. They maintain that the gods are witnesses of everything. They order us to meet the gods' approval, to prepare ourselves to join them at some future time, and to plan for immortality. He that has grasped this idea shrinks from no attacking army, is not terrified by the trumpet blast, and is intimidated by no threats. How should it not be that a man feels no fear if he looks forward to death? He also who believes that the soul abides only as long as it is fettered in the body, scatters it abroad forthwith when dissolved, so that it may be useful even after death. For though he is taken from men's sight still, often our thoughts run back to the hero, and often the glory won by his race recurs to the mind. Consider how much we are helped by good example. You will thus understand that the presence of a noble man is of no less service than his memory. Farewell. Letter 103. On the Dangers of Association with Our Fellow Men. Why are you looking about for troubles, which may perhaps come your way, but which may indeed not come your way at all? I mean fires, falling buildings, and other accidents of the sort that are mere events rather than plots against us. Rather, beware and shun those troubles which dog our steps and reach out their hands against us. Accidents, though they may be serious, are few, such as being shipwrecked or thrown from one's carriage. But it is from his fellow man that a man's everyday danger comes. Equip yourself against that. Watch that with an attentive eye. There is no evil more frequent, no evil more persistent, no evil more insinuating. Even the storm, before it gathers, gives a warning. Houses crack before they crash, and smoke is the forerunner of fire. But damage from man is instantaneous, and the nearer it comes, the more carefully it is concealed. You are wrong to trust the countenances of those you meet. They have the aspect of men, but the souls of brutes. The difference is that only beasts damage you at the first encounter. Those whom they have passed by, they do not pursue. For nothing ever goads them to do harm, except when need compels them. It is hunger or fear that forces them into a fight. But man delights to ruin man. You must, however, reflect thus, what danger you run at the hand of man, in order that you may deduce what is the duty of man. Try, in your dealings with others, to harm not, in order that you be not harmed. You should rejoice with all in their joys, and sympathize with them in their troubles, remembering what you should offer and what you should withhold. And what may you attain by living such a life? Not necessarily freedom from harm at their hands, but at least freedom from deceit. Insofar, however, as you are able, take refuge with philosophy. She will cherish you in her bosom, and in her sanctuary you shall be safe, or, at any rate, safer than before. People collide only when they are traveling the same path. But this very philosophy must never be vaunted by you. For philosophy, when employed with insolence and arrogance, has been perilous to many. Let her strip off your faults, rather than assist you to decry the faults of others. Let her not hold aloof from the customs of mankind, nor make it her business to condemn whatever she herself does not do. A man may be wise without parade and without arousing enmity. Farewell. Letter 104. On Care of Health and Peace of Mind. I have run off to my villa at Nomentum. For what purpose, do you suppose? To escape